Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Automatically without struggle and say, come and be king. But what you are reading here is like a man who was making an elaborate preparation to now fight, as if the thing was not given to him. I don't know whether we are together. God has given him this thing. But now they are making an elaborate preparation to now take over what God has given to him. And now, in this place I read, you now see defection of soldiers. That means Saul was formidable as at this time. A time came that something began to happen in the camp of Saul. The Bible says that the house of Saul was that of David was coming up. But there was a signal that soldiers, the first set we read here, are Saul's relations. These are still supposed to be the first group to leave Saul. But in this context, they were the first group to the camp. They left Saul, they moved to David. Because wherever the carcass is, that is where the eagles will gather. And so from every tribe, without David saying, "Leave Saul, come to me," people were just discovering reasons why they should leave the camp of Saul and then move to David. So let's move forward. I move to verse 14. These warriors from Gad were many commanders. The weakest among them could take on 100 regular troops, and the strongest could take on 1,000. These are great people, and all of them moved to join David. These were the men who crossed the Jordan River during his seasonal flooding at the beginning of the year, and drove out all the people living in the lowlands on both east and west bank. Others from Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. David went out to meet with them and said, "If you have come in peace to help me, we are friends. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies, when I am innocent, then may the God of our ancestors see it and punish you." Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, the leader of the 30. He said, "We are yours, David." What came upon him? The Spirit. That means the hand of God was in all these actions. "We are yours, David. We are on your side, son of Jesse, and prosperity and success to all who help you. For your God is the one who helped you." I love this place. You know, these are great warriors. So the weakest can just finish on that. And then the strongest can take on how many people? 1,000. And then they said, "We have come to help you. But after we have helped you, we are not really the one helping you. It is your God that is helping you through us." So the hand of God was there. Because the season for David to be king over Israel had come. Stayed close to 12 years after the anointing, and everything remained normal. In fact, it became worse than it used to be after the anointing. Because it was within this period, he was running from cave to cave. You know, he was even almost killed at the palace of the times. He just got trapped among them and was taken to the palace of the Philistines. But God helped him. He, you know, when the hand of God is in something, amazing thing will happen. So when they brought him there, and you know that the leader of this army used to be Goliath that David killed. Now what do you think will happen if the boys of Goliath now eventually catch David, and David was not harmed, and was brought to the palace of their king, surrounded by hundreds of their soldiers, what do you think is the next? And all of them recognized him and said, "Oh, you are the David. Who is killing thousands and thousands? All right, you are here now." But because God was there, David did something. He pretended as if he was mad. Now, unknown to David, the Philistines, by tradition, must not kill a madman. And so as he began to drop saliva as a madman, then they became paralyzed and powerless. They were in trouble. So he has run mad. The Philistines don't kill a madman. David escaped because the hand of God was there. So, but all this period, naturally, it will look as if it is not God who sent Samuel to anoint him. Because what that we live, you see that things now, I mean, it started like this. After all, I was managing the ship peacefully without problem. But now, running from place to place, because Saul was pursuing him all over the places. But when the season of David came, the same soldier Saul was using to pursue him started the campaign. And they were moving to join him. And in this place, Bible says, the Spirit came upon Amasa. He said, don't worry yourself. Something else is at work now. We used to be enemies, but something that is higher than us is controlling us now. We are here to help you. And after we have helped you, don't give the credit to us. Your God has helped you. But we are going somewhere. And I will now want you to note this. Let's move, because of our time, to verse 24. Verse 24. Are we there? The same 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Verse 24. From the tribe of Judah, there were how many people? 6,800 warriors armed with shield and spears. How many people? 6,800. From which tribe? Judah. Good. From the tribe of Simeon, how many people? 7,100. How were they described? Brave warriors. And then, from the tribe of Levi, there were how many people? 4,600. What were they called? Warriors. Were they called warriors or soldiers? Huh? The children of Levi, 4,600. This included Jehoiada, the leader of the family of Aaron, that means the priest, who had 3,700 under his command. This also included Zadok, a brave young warrior with 22 members of his family, who were all officers. Maybe I'll come back to this. Let's move. From the tribe of Benjamin, relatives, there were 3,000 warriors. Lest I forget, this verse 26 was abnormal. The tribe of Levi had something else to offer Israel than to join them as warriors. And if you look at that place, it's not even only the Levi, even the specially chosen Aaron family who were supposed to wear ephod and stand in God's presence, they themselves changed clothes and became warriors. Now, if God did not raise another group to discern for Israel, Israel is in trouble. Because the discernment for Israel ought to come from here. Because Urim and Thummim, who should guide times and seasons, these were the custodian of it. But those who should tell the people this is the direction had descended to the level of the people and got mixed up in the midst of soldiers, and so there was nobody to discern time and season. So if the men of Issachar did not come up, Israel is in trouble. And so it becomes dangerous When the high, you know, even in traditional religion, there is the Ezemo, the Igbos call it Ezemo, the chief priest, the is called highs of the gods. Why is it called the highs of the gods? He designed time and season for the people, and he gave direction. Are we together now? To the people on where to go. So God also, in the nation of Israel, chose a tribe from among them, and he did not give them permanent inheritance. He scattered them among the people so that there will be a kind of link man between God and the people. And so these were the Levites, and then from within that same family, the lineage of Aaron became the priests, who were to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people and also receive their family leader, the high priest, would do the Day of Atonement and receive message for the people from God. But as at the days of David, things had gone wrong. That at this most critical time, even the Levites, house of Aaron, themselves joined the soldiers and came to fight, which is contrary to their own family divine responsibility. The Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. So the next family, Benjamin, Saul's relatives, there were 3,000 warriors. Most of them from Benjamin had remained loyal to Saul until this time, because God is now at work. Loyalty now was changing because season had already changed. Then from the tribe of Ephraim, there were how many people? 20,800 brave. From the tribe of Manasseh, west of the Jordan, how many people? 18,000 men who were designated by name to help David become king. From the tribe of Issachar, there were how many leaders? Talk to me now. How many were there? 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. That means the next thing Israel should do, these people knew. Now, and all their men are at their command. That's the way King James put it. Then from the tribe of Zebulun, how many people? 50,000 skilled warriors. They were fully armed, prepared for battle, completely loyal to David. From the tribe of Naphtali, how many people? 1,000 officers, but 37,000 warriors, making 38,000. And then from the tribe of Dan, how many people? 28,600. From the tribe of Asher, how many people? 40,000 trained warriors, all prepared for battle. And then from the eastern side of Jordan, those who settled at the other side, how many people? 120,000 troops, armed with every kind of weapons. Now let me ask God, which tribe supplied the least number of people? The tribe of Issachar. Now, if you do the calculation of all these men, they were actually skilled men. And their descriptions are there. Brave warrior, great warrior, they could fight, they could do things, but none of them knew when that fight should take place. Which simply means, if you remove the tribe of Issachar from this pack, the rest are as good as useless. Don't you think that a nation, the case of a nation can look like this? where the nation will be blessed with all kinds of experts in every field. I mean, men who could hold their own anywhere. But it's a serious group of people who direct the energy and agenda and achieve certain goals if people like those people are not there. So, men of Issachar, they are the ones who had understanding of the times and what Israel, I mean, under Israel, you have all these brave warriors, Kamen, Nukari, what they ought to do and the time they should do it. It is these 200 men who represent their tribe and had all their men under their command. Now, they now took over this responsibility and began to lead. Yesterday we talked about the gate of hell. When the gate of hell wants to deal with any nation, it will deal with the Levites of that nation. And the Levites and priests of that nation will come to the level of the people that they will no longer play what should be their own role. They will just be one off. When that happens, God will now locate men of Issachar who will have understanding of the times and what the people ought to do. We're going to get into the nation of Israel very shortly. Now, look at the description we are given here. One person can kill 100. I mean, the strongest among them can kill 1,000. The weakest, the one who no get power at all, can kill 100. These are wonderful people. Now, which nation do you think will face this type of people? But they needed men who had understanding of the times and know what they ought to do. I don't need to tell you that this is where the problem of Nigeria is. There are skilled men in every field who can favorably compete everywhere, but there is a need for a group who will not be so many to now say, this is the time, this is the season, and this is what we ought to do now. And church is saddled with the responsibility of producing those men. Because men of Issachar did not come from Philistines. They didn't come from the Gigashi. They came from among the same Israelites. Is that what the Bible is saying? That it is from the same Israelites that the men who will guide the rest of Israel came. And by extension, guide the whole world. So the church has historic responsibility to rescue any nation where the church is sited. And so the danger now is for the devil not to hijack the priesthood of that nation, that they will no longer be in the front. And that they will reduce to the level of other tribes. And their voice will be thin to no longer. And then they will be there with great names. And we will be looking for men of Issachar who will now tell us what Israel ought to do. So with the assemblage of these people, David was able to take the throne without stress. Because when God's season came, people responded to that season appropriately. Those who will fight came. Those who will discern the time came. Those those who will play one role or the other came, and so the kingdom was restored to David. If you follow up with the story of Israel, church is still struggling to master the Yahweh of Israel the way the Jews mastered him. And it's abnormal because the age of the Spirit gives us advantage over them to understand God more than they did. And so it's a challenge that we are going to look at this morning. The covenant with Israel was established on the Old Testament, which we call the Old Covenant. And God made statements to the nation of Israel. Some of them conditional. If you follow me with all your heart, I will do this. You will be the head. You will not be the tail. And some of them even go with curses that I will even fight this nation. I will scatter you. But when I scatter you, I will gather you. You know, all those things. Now, one of the most brilliant things the nation of Israel did was, as early as they could write, they documented every categorical statement that God made about the future of Israel. Those promises, they documented all those promises that God said this, God said this, we are going to be the light of the nations, we are going to be the head. Israel wrote all these things down. And then they put them together in something like, which we will call a booklet today. Then it became the responsibility of every father that as your child is growing and is able to hear word and is able to read and write, the first body of instructions you pass to that child is that we are a nation of Yahweh. And these are the things he had said concerning us. In fact, the Bible says when you are going on the farm, teach it. When you are eating, tell them. So Israel made sure that every generation of Israelites, they are aware of whatever God said concerning them. And so before a Jewish boy reached 6 years old, he's already aware of his covenant. He knows who he is. And he knows what Yahweh, God of Israel, said concerning him. And he carried this everywhere he went. That is Old Testament. So that even when challenges came, they were only confirming what they have been taught. That there will be time God will scatter us. They didn't know when that time will come. But when he scatters us, he will still gather us. When he gathers us, no nation will overcome us. I mean, that's how the nation of Israel has been following up on this all their generations. I read something. They said, when a Jewish boy becomes 6 years old, the father will take him out and take him to one of the mountains in Israel where he can easily see the Palestinians. You can easily look down and see the Palestinians. Then the father will ask the boy to turn around. Both of them will turn around. And they will say to him, my son, you are surrounded by enemies. They could not wipe out your ancestors. They could not wipe me out. Israel must not be wiped out in your own days. He said the eyes of the Jewish boy will turn red because a generational responsibility is already given to him. And these are the things that sustain that nation. people there. That's why you see every secondary school student to fight. They can handle weapons. Because something has been given to them. This nation must not be wiped out under the head. And we will not sit down. We are the one who will carry out that promise. Two, the Jewish father will say to the boy, son, the world hates you, but you must survive. For you to survive, make yourself indispensable. That they will not like you, but they cannot do without you. And so every Jewish person, in any field he found himself, he has an historic role to make himself somebody you can't push aside. So that even if you don't like him, you will still need him. Either as a doctor, as an engineer, as an expert, a scientist, one way or the other, you will need him. Number three, the Jewish father will say to the boy, my son, there are many gods in this world, but Yahweh, God of your ancestor, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the greatest. But he is invisible. You are the proof of that greatness. You must meet up. So that when the rest see you, they should be able to agree without argument that your God is actually the greatest. Now, imagine bringing up a child this way. One, you have made him to know that he is not to expect free meal from anybody because they hate him. They don't want him to survive. The father will now give him the historical journey of Israel. All the slavery that his ancestors through from under Egypt, how they came out, how they were oppressed by Midianite, how they did, and how they have always bounced back and survived. So you sustain the temple. With this, the nation of Israel respond appropriately to every season. And this is where we are going. Israel knew the time when the way out is to pray, and brimstones and fire will come from heaven and fight the enemies of the Jews. Was there a time like that? Talk to me now. Was there a time like that when God will fight for them, send a brimstone from heaven and all that? Divinely, God was the one taking up their battle. There were instances God will send angel, like in the case of Hezekiah, and the angel will kill the soldiers of the enemy. So all that Israel needed to do at that time was just to cry. There was a season like that. When that season changed, Israel responded. Today, Israel knows that Yahweh is still the same. But if they only gather in their various synagogue and be saying, oh God, deliver us, save us, the Arabs are on us, they will wipe them out. Israel know that season has changed. And so you are now talking of iron drone. You are now seeing cutting edge technology. So Israel believe that it is still our God that is fighting, but season has changed. A tie shall control the world. They have gathered in the synagogue and be confessing it. Oh, we will be the head and not the tail. This is what your word says. And actually the word says so. We are the nation of Israel. We are the apple of your eyes. You said we will be the head and we will not be the tail. Oh God of Abraham. Oh God of Isaac. Oh God of Jacob. Where are your eyes there? Israel knows that seasons change. And as we align ourselves with God, He gives us a weapon that is fit for every new season that has come. And so the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, could stand at the United Nations General Assembly and now begin his speech by quoting the Bible. And quoting Isaiah and say that even when darkness covered the earth, we are the light. Say, we are the light. And all of them, and America was there, Britain was there, everybody was there, Arab nations were there. He said, because we protect your nations. You don't know, but this your leaders know. Now, of us carry, we're the same people who gathering and say, oh God, arise on our behalf. We are the children of Abraham. But they knew that that era had changed. God is still gaining glory under a new season. Now, you don't discuss religion at the UN. It's divisive. But the nation of Israel does. Because they say our own history is interwoven with it. And we quote from the old book. You hear them say, and we quote from the old book. Because that's what guides us. Now, what is the problem? That the church carries the same book. But we are not responding appropriately. The last one I read, it was pointing to Saudi Arabia. Even the hard boys, when they have critical health challenges, they come to us. Because we are the light. We are the light. Now, but if you ask an average Christian, what is the interpretation of that, we are the light? He will spiritualize it. Now, you see the way Israel is looking at light now. That when there is darkness, we are, and truly, they have the number one lobby group in America. They control the Wall Street. They are the richest Americans. And I will briefly explain how they got there. Responding to seasons. Now, initially, what Israel was pursuing was to have the best academic credentials. And there is a group we call the Ashkenazi Jews who are reputed to be the most intelligent human beings on earth. So every Jewish boy struggled to have first position in class. So they were coming up with the best result from Harvard, from Oxford, from Cambridge, from everywhere. Then a time of conspiracy came that we will not employ them. Even if we employ them, we underemploy them. So Israel knew that the season had changed. Then they adopted a new strategy that every Jewish person must learn a trade along with the certificate. So that if nobody employs you, you employ yourself. So the Jews began to learn a trade. Even some people with PhDs began to go and learn something. They began to learn. Everybody now had a skill. Now, when that happened again, there was conspiracy of finance. Because they were not in their own country. They were scattered, they were in Spain, everywhere. Even 1492, Isabella expelled them out of Spain before George Washington said, okay, they should come over to America. They were just like almagiris, moving all over. Israel was supposed to be like the nomads. If not because they know what they were doing. And so when they now saw that, instead for, and one thing you need to learn, for every challenge, Israel will not withdraw back into the synagogue to cry. The normal worship of the Jews did not change. Time to praise God, they praise God. Time to read their distinct, they did. Everything was normal. They say, hey, oh God, they are not employing us again. No. Israel would devise a new means. No finance. Israel now adopted this their own financing system that produced Jewish barons. If you have read Shakespeare, you will come as a Jewish lender. So the Jews now began to raise finance, calculating within their community, and they became wealthiest. So that if a Jew is coming up with an invention, and you are planning to stop him, because you will not help him to finance it, he has devised a means of financing it himself. And then Jews become impregnable. Then the last one is, let's wipe them out. If we cannot get them through these other means, let us wipe them out. How do they want to wipe them out? You know, you can't easily wipe out people who are scattered. Are you with me now? People are scattered everywhere, like the other our friends. They are in every bush. So it's difficult. If you wipe out the ones who are the other group and the other side, they scatter all over African nations like that. Now, the world came up with something with an hidden agenda, but he was at work. They now said, we are creating a Jewish state. We're going to go home. So that all of them will move to one place. And they are surrounded by 22 Arab nations. So it will be easier to just... And they even recovered the land for them and set time bomb there. All the critical sites that the Jews cannot do without, they group them under Palestine. And then give the other side to the Jews. You know, it's just like you set time bomb. I say, okay, make una stay there. Whereas you know that these people must want to collect the other side. And so things like that. But when Israel, very wise, very intelligent nation, when Israel returned home, number one thing, they didn't return all. They planned that some should return. Because a new nation had nothing. The rest who are holding strategic offices and work all over Europe and America should not return. So that those who are outside can help to support the fledgling nation that will be rising up. So that's those ones were differently, and the rest were raising funds all over, the rest return. Now, when they return, the moment they were settling down, war started. Because there was an agenda. They were closing on them from every side, and necessity is the mother of invention. So as they were doing that, Israel was responding. They were not just gathering and say, God, we read in your word that you sent an angel in the days of our fathers. Do it again. No, they know that God works in diverse ways. They yielded themselves. And so Israel now began to produce weapons. They began to produce. Today now is the most fortified place on earth. That you can be on pilgrimage and war is, and you will not know. But they will make sure they safeguard where you are. So that's how Israel has been responding to different seasons that come based on the understanding that God is the same if we yield ourselves to Him. Now, when the church started, the church adopted this strategy, especially the church in Europe. And that's what led to Protestant work ethics, that Christians should be different in their place of work. Everywhere they should be more punctual, they should work better than others, they should do, and before you know it, brethren were the best in all their offices, everywhere, and they didn't stop at that. God created a time of meditation and taught the people to do so. That there's a need for sense of serenity to think clearly. If you have been to older churches, you will hear something like, Oluwa nbe ninu temple mi mo re. Je ki gbogbo aye ko palolo ni iwaju re. That means the Lord is in his holy temple. Let everybody be quiet. So it was a methodical training of rigorous thinking that now produced what we call modern science. Where you now, that is that process that now gave us many of the scientists, you know, Newton, Faraday, all of them. These were all churchmen. They were called churchmen who were trained to be quiet, who were trained to think, because the understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit was expounded, and the church was meant to know that they were an improvement on the nation of Israel. Because Jesus made a statement. He said, among those who are born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. That means, among all the Jews, who is the greatest? John the Baptist. He said, but the kingdom that I want to start now, the least of this kingdom is greater than John. That is a contrast of the physical Israel and the spiritual Israel. And I was trying to research to see. I realized that a few years ago, Israel had produced 178 Nobel Prize winners, and the church had produced about 365, almost times two of that, majorly from Europe and America. I will come to African church. And so it was at that era that led to what we call industrial revolution. The brethren were, you know, with the understanding that Jesus has given us a higher level of understanding and perception, because he said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all, not only biblical, theological, yourself to him. Because the master of the universe also, he is God in his own right. He knows all this. And so the church was seeing it from that perspective. Catholic was not seeing it from that perspective. So that was the area of conflict. The Protestants were seeing it from that perspective. So the Industrial Revolution came. Now, instead of fighting to stop slave trade and preaching, which many of them did, which was wonderful, the church now produced machines that could do what many slaves could not do. And naturally, people saw that it was economical to have machines than to have slaves. And the church stopped sin by invention. And so if you look at the nations dominated by Catholics, they are still poor. The Latin America and all the rest. But Europe, that later flowed to America, there was that consciousness, that awareness. And so we are different groups that sprang up all over Europe, the pietists. These were rigorous, correct, born-again believers everywhere that knows the difference. They know when to fast. They know when to pray. They know when to roll in the church, roll on the floor. And they know the one that we don't wait for God to do again. That they are the one to rise to that responsibility and do it. How did the gospel go around the world? Because those who carry it around the world were better than the rest of the people. So if they tell you, why I'm better than you is because I have God, which is better than this stone you are worshiping. Your hand don't fall already. The man is better than you. One of my lecturers, he was born a Muslim, so he later became a Christian. He said, not because people preach, he said he just sat down. You know, he just sat down and asked them, by the way, who brought this thing? So, to his own place, it was the people in the bush that brought it. So he said he went out and looked at the people. Where they gathered, begging for money. He said, he told him that there is something not wrong with me. Now, it is this group that saw light and brought light to my village, and they are like this. I said that he just left it. Because those who carry the Bible are important. So the Europeans were able to go around the world and do the global evangelization because as at that time, they were ahead of the rest of us. So we were all just following, our hands just fall. Because we're seeing things we never saw before. They were parading everywhere. And our ancestors, even Juju could not do anything. This one was more sophisticated than what the Juju could do. I read one time. He gave a comedy. He said, masquerades, our people were doing masquerade, and were using their ding gun to fire the masquerade. And masquerade was still dancing. He was not falling. And they were saying, yes. So a white man came and was asking somebody, what's going on? He said, the masquerade has spiritual parachute. There's something that if you shoot the masquerade, you will not die. So the white man, you know, they like adventure. So he went inside the car and brought AK-47. And brought bullet and was running the thing around himself. So even masquerade from inside this thing saw the white man and called somebody and said, well, what is the white man trying to do? They said, no, he wants to test his own gun. He said, no, tell him that he's not that type of gun nowhere. Because, you know, people ask, how is it possible for the white to just capture us like that? When our forefathers saw the difference. Have you heard that this Yoruba say, Ijoba Amunimogun? Have you heard it before? Huh? Ijoba Amunimogun. What's the English? That's the government that will catch you and catch the charm. Because every community had the most powerful man. Juju man that they depended on. But they were surprised the way white man rovandu them and put them somewhere. And then the most powerful man is there just watching like this. The rest of you, there's nothing you want to do again. Then the white man will now say, have you seen that these things are not powerful? So come to church. Jesus is the way. So reluctant to enter church. Let us enter church. Because they saw something that is superior to them. Where I'm going is this. The gospel also, and the power that back it, over nations are seizing. The era of Europe is gone. You know, this thing is like when the cloud is here. There will be revival all over. When the cloud moves, there will be backsliding and apostasy here. And that's what you see going on all over Europe. You now see empty cathedrals. The Bible says another generation grew up who knew not the Lord, neither the things he did for Israel. When Europe was going down, the cloud moved to America. And so Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, Oral Robert, God began to raise, not the same way he did in Europe, he began to raise all over America. At the peak of that revival, Chicago Crusade, Billy Graham made a statement that no American could believe. As at that time, Christianity became American culture because of the aspect of the Pilgrim Fathers who founded the nation and all that. Then Billy Graham said, God dropped in his mind that a time is coming that even in this God's own nation, the evangelicals will become minority. That was at the peak of revival. That there was godliness everywhere. If you listen to Donald Trump, when Billy Graham died, he said, when I was a boy, that used to love us to Billy Graham's crusade. He said, because that was the aim thing then. definitely not in America. So, but the same person said, isn't this our America? Where every school must pray in the morning. Where they must pray before they close. The time is coming. When those who still hold on to the Bible will become minorities. America entered that phase. We are all witnesses. Now, the cloud moved to part of Asia and Africa. The part of Asia, it moved to South Korea and they responded well with the exploits of Yong Gicho and the rest. The church started cooperative societies that began the finance systems that financed the technological powerhouses that raised South Korea. So you can trace the greatness of South Korea to the garden of church people. Now, at the same time, church came to Africa. For whatever reason, everybody knows that the cloud of God is in Africa. But understanding of the season is our problem. And application of this biblical truth to fall within their own time is our problem. That's why you now see somebody who refuses to go to school, who refuses to learn a trade, but is always in the church in Africa. He didn't go to school, he didn't learn any trade, but he's always where? In the church. Quoting the same scriptures that Israelites quoted, applying it wrongly in a wrong season. You will just be saying, God bless me. God bless you. In abstract like that. And in the night, you will go home or from there, move to the next mountain. Then, just like that, moving about like Thessalonica believers who refuse to walk. Because Jesus, Paul told them Christ will soon come. So they stopped walking. The time of planting, season of planting came. They refused to farm. Now, the few brethren who went and farmed, they saw them as backsliders, carnal people who don't trust God enough. So they remained there until the time of harvest came. When the time of harvest came, those brethren began to harvest. And then they said, let brotherly love continue. And those ones said, no, so that it will be enough for both me and you. So go and do your own. So they have to write letter to Paul. Paul, come! Come and talk to greedy brethren. They don't want to share food with the rest. And Paul said, what is the problem? They said, they refuse to walk. And Paul said, let those who refuse to walk, let them not eat. We must respond to different seasons well as a church. The key that unlocks every nation is in the hand of the church. If we are aware that that is who we are. Produced very large crowd, but not with a loud voice. And so, policies are made at random all over Africa And the church is under groaning, which is contrary to God's plan and program. God wants to raise men of Issachar. From among you, who will guide the energy of this expert from all tribes to the right direction. Otherwise, it will look as if they are not there. I was chatting with someone. He said, God needs to help Africa. I said, how? He said, he just needs to help us. No, I said, I want to know how. 40% of the total wealth of the world, he put it in Africa. He asked the rest continents to share the rest. Is that not even partiality? He has given you more. Congo should be the richest country on earth in terms of natural resources that God put under their soil. They are still poor there. I was reading this morning, oil theft in Nigeria. What people steal is far more than what the whole nation is using. What few people steal. And now they said, this morning they said, it has now reached unprecedented level. You know, the country is on autopilot now. Everybody is carrying whatever he can carry from top to bottom. So now, this, when you look, you know, when you are not, when you don't understand the season, you pray amiss. And so that somebody said, but we are still saying we should pray. 2023, since he being wise, we have been doing this thing. Since he knew the difference between right and wrong, and he has been going to church, we have been doing it. So what is the problem? I said, no, we must understand the season. Learn from Israel. Israel did not just sacrifice a ram and crying there. Say, oh God, we don't give you your ram now. Make you do something. No! Israel, as the world is advancing, Israel is ahead. Now, let me ask you now, who will stop Israel from doing Judaism? Huh? Who will stop Israel from doing Judaism? How will you stop them? Now, so the church must rise to the occasion all over Africa. This Africa you see, this is one of the best places. This Nigeria, they see one of the... No, you need to get some countries in Africa. Oh, no. No, you wonder what is really the problem. Huh? What is really the problem? Where they live? Mode of transportation, the road. Ha! When South Sudan had the first good road, they celebrated it. And that is a nation. This Niger here is as poor as anything you can think of. They depend on beef and beans and the rest, and their politicians will steal the three quarters of the money and give them the rest. So the same story. The same story everywhere, all over the continent. And then the believers in Africa still think God is the problem. And so we are still bombarding him. Do something. Do something. And God himself is saying, I have done something. Now, in terms of producing quality men and women, it's still the same Africa. They are brilliant. They are intelligent. They can hold their own anywhere, all over the world. You know, Nigerians produce the most educated immigrants in America. They are all over. But one thing is lacking. Men of Issachar, who have understanding of times, who knows what Israel ought to do. They don't need to be many. They were just 200 men. And then you hear 200,000, 70,000, 40-something thousand, but somebody need to tell these people, we will not fight tomorrow. We will resume the fight 3 weeks' time. Those who have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. because you cannot assume right. It's a game of precision. The Bible says they carry the goods of David and everything and carry them, run away. And David said, "Shall I pursue these people? After all, what they carry is my own." He doesn't even call for prayers, Abby. "And I'm a warrior and I have soldiers with me. I should just go and collect it back." What did God say? "Don't go now." And David waited. With quality soldiers with him. Now, does it make sense? Somebody stole something from you. The person is running away with what he stole. When is the best time to pursue? Is it not almost immediately? But God said, "Don't go now." And then David asked again, "They have gone. Should we go now?" "Don't go now." Then God now said, "You will hear the footsteps of the juniper tree. Somebody moving ahead of you to that place. Follow him." The church in Africa must raise men that understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. It is not rocket science. The church has done it all over the world. The church can do it here. And so our understanding of this gospel must be total. Huh? What did I say now? It must be total. Jesus didn't say, "Hang around till I come." Huh? What did he say we should do? What's the meaning of occupy? Now, if I am to occupy him now, who should be on top? Huh? It is me. It's a military terminology. Occupy means put him under you. Occupy the place. Oh, yeah, go and occupy Akure. And that means take over the control of that place. That's what Jesus said. "Till I come, be in charge, be in command. Occupy." Now, this occupation is not inside church. We do it. We are trained inside church to go out and do it. When we occupy the schools, our vice chancellors become children of the kingdom. It is then the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Because the policies that will come out from there will not contradict righteousness. The danger of not occupying our enemies will be forced to cope with unrighteousness. Presently now we produce ladies who cannot get jobs because those who control the job must sleep with them. And so it's a battle of compromise. This office, the man who is there is Randy. The other office, the man in charge is Randy. The other office, the man. So everywhere. So the brethren keep meeting brick wall here and there until those who will remain, and those who will compromise. That's the danger. There was a statement from the military either last week or 2 weeks ago that there is infiltration of the military. That there are soldiers whose loyalty is to their religion and their ethnicity. Now, that kind of language cannot come out from the military. But the chief of defense staff now is a redeemed member. Yeah. General Erabon. So, there are things that happen when somebody who has had a contact with light manage a place. He was saying that they should weed the military. You know, weed off the military. That means some wrong people package some people inside with different agenda, you know, to do certain things. But now that somebody is on top, who the Supreme Court, how the most honorable court was brought into disrepute because of the personality that manages it. So we can't just stay somewhere. And, you know, there's some other worldly concept of Christ coming. It's where Africa missed it. That is, we have missed this place already. Come and carry us home. No, that's not what Jesus said we should do. He didn't say we should say kagbakamu. We should just be better. We better sit down. So we keep doing this all day. No, that's not what he said we should do. We need men understanding of the times and accept it as your own generational challenge. As Israel, we're giving it to different. I mean, when I read that, I was speaking in tongues. I said, this is great. They said, I mean, imagine a man telling a 6-year-old boy that, and they will start from Abraham. They could not overcome Abraham. They could not overcome Isaac. They could not overcome Jacob. They could not do this. They could not. In the days of this, Israel returned. They went to Babylon. Israel returned. They went to Assyria. Israel returned. Even we went to this, we returned. In your days, the story must not change. You know? And that's the same thing the Lord is saying to us today. We must respond to the season that we are in. We have passed the season of theological debates. There was a time like that. We are no more there. We have passed the era of arguments, where the council will gather and they will talk from morning till night and arguing the same thing, and there will be no conclusion. We are no more there. The enemy that threatens us is more than all those ones. And we should not make mistake to think that they cannot wipe us out. God is on the throne. Yes, he was on the throne in Turkey. He was on the throne in Aramean. And they sent all Christians out of the country. That's where Demas Shekarau ran from, and his friend who founded full gospel. We must not assume that we have no role to play. One thing I know, which is very sure, is that God will use Africa to bring the last global revival. But every generation of Africa must now align with that profession. Because a generation may go and another one will come up and fulfill prophecy. Nineveh was not wiped out when they prayed. 100 years after that, Nineveh was wiped out. Because the world will not return to God for it. But it shifted the season and the time. Because there were a group that interceded and said, no, it must not be. I want to challenge us today. One of the things Satan does, and it's the worst kind of fighting, is, you know, when you fight, if the enemies are there and you are here, it's easier to fight. One of the things the devil has done to church in Africa is what we call the danger of mixture. He has mixed it up from inside that we almost don't know who is with us and who is not with us. In fact, you yourself will see some things, whether on your TV or so, you yourself will wonder, say, are these also part? Are these part of it? So devil. That's what the devil does. And when he creates such a problem, he makes the system very weak. Because it's like you, when you pass through, there's this plant, something that will perch on all your clothes all around. When you come out, you can't walk fast. You will stay first, struggling to pick those, so they slow down the journey. So all kinds of charlatans are in the body, creating problems. Your generation must not lose this fight. I was thinking of something. I went to see someone at least as I was coming. Then we were talking about divorce. So we were talking. This person, they are divorced now. They are divorced now. Then I said, hey, that this is how this thing started in America. And the church struggled until the church gave up. Even the most conservative churches in America, like ours, about 2 years ago, were forced. There was a vote at the council whether pastors could divorce and remarry. So when it was put to vote, those who voted for were in majority. And so they won. The older generation voted against, but they lost. So the church in Africa, especially in Nigeria, is entering a dangerous season. It's a season where happiness will be prioritized above the truth. That means even if you say I should come to church by 8 a.m., if I'm not comfortable because my happiness is number one, I will not come. When that happens, the truth will be tailored towards what people want to hear. And that's what the Bible says, they will multiply teachers for themselves who will tell them only what they want to hear. The mechanic who normally fixes my car is a Christian. So he was lamenting to me. He said they are sure that Yahoo boys have taken over. they have taken over that fast. See him in the walk. He walks up on Sundays now. We will not be going there every time. I said no. That's not how to. You are as a child of God, you serve your God and all that. But these are all signals, and they are not good ones. We must respond to the season that the Lord has put us in their midst. This is your own generation. It should not be more stubborn than you. That you can only grumble. God gives solution to the people of every era to face whatever faces them at that time. When church came to Africa, as I mentioned earlier, it was a weak church. People were not, the church was not very spiritually fervent. So our ancestors responded positively, ran to church, but they were running from idols and several ancestral issues, and it takes a stubborn man to abandon those things and run to church. But the church could not provide cover. Somebody will go to the Reverend Father and say, Father, they were beating me all through the night. And Father will say, who is beating you? And then he will call his fellow missionary, who is a doctor, to find some, because of lack of understanding. So you take this one when you sleep. Then your mind will cool down. Then the man will go back home, sleep. In the night, true. The demons, the masquerade refused to carry again. We'll be pursuing him all over and we'll beat him. He will run again and say, Father, you don't understand this thing. No. That thing you said should not do again. Which I stop. They are dealing with me. Oh. The white man didn't understand. He said, no, nothing can deal with you. So our ancestors reached a conclusion that this new religion is not powerful enough. And so it led to Igbagbo Ope. Oh, eh, Igbagbo Ope Kawa Masoro. Awa Osoro. Ile wa. Those who abandoned God went na pick up. I am sorry for running away. I thought the other one can help me. I'm sorry. That's not been the deal, your goat. Then on Sunday, they wear their dress and then move to church. That's where we're coming from. God saw that if he depended on that, he would have nothing in Africa because of syncretism. God now left Ibnaris. He began to indigenous prophet in Africa by himself. Those who haven't felt him. That's what led to raising of Babalola, founder of Gospel Faith. I mean, God began to all over part of Africa. He was now raising from among them and giving them ecstatic revelation different from what the white man was teaching. Because God has answer to the problem every group of people are facing. So he didn't raise them. That time the issue was not on doctrine. The issue was who will project me to these people that I am actually powerful. The context is power. The missionaries were actually teaching well, but there was no power then to back it up, and people resorted to idols. So God now responding to this season. He didn't come down from heaven. He raised from among them. From the same Anglican, Babalola came out. From among them, he began a bride from Niger Delta. The people who started our church in Odumaya, he started raising from among them. And subjecting them to fasting, to prayer, the system they were already used to in following the idols. In fact, that was what even led to their using of articles. When you say carrying water and all that, because at that time, Africans would not understand that God could work when we pray alone. Because they are used to carrying oil up and down, carrying something up and down. So, how will you now say this oil? You're not going to carry anything. So, God now says, okay, let them carry something. It is not that is the way, but because of the level of the people at that time who were coming, tell them that they should carry water, come. Something will enter inside. Now, our people now will jealously carry their water there, and then the prophets will pray, and then they will go back, they will bath. The person masquerade was pushing. Masquerade was no more. But hey, this thing is powerful now. Now white man know the drum well. And then God responded to that season. It came. Lack of understanding of what led to that system created a new kind of church that returned to where they were cut from. God has to now go back to this by raising the truth now. Are you with me at all? So you see that seasons kept changing. And God didn't come down from heaven. It is the people. He will still raise. I say, okay, the people now are getting this thing wrong. Oh yeah. So new generation of teachers now began to come again, teaching them the new creation realities, the fundamentals of the gospel, the truth, and then you see our people coming, having understanding now that you can combine both the power and the truth. And that's the error on that many of you repented. Now, a time came that movement became weak also. Moses was not factored into it. So those people could not spread wide to capture all the places they could. Prosperity was missing. Because the brethren felt that to use anything except that is good is carnality. And so God did not come down from heaven. Season has changed. He raised another set that will not cancel what was in vogue, but they will add to it. That after we have pursued the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we also have access to other things. Let me now announce to you, your generation is facing the most critical one. And that's what I mentioned earlier. It's era of errors, confusion and mystery. That it will take you time to know where each person actually belongs. That is your era. And like I've explained, a new season has come. But God will not come down from heaven. You are the one he will still use. So when you open your paper and you hear, Pastor do this, Pastor do, Pastor do, Pastor do, everywhere, churches, all these churches, have you heard amen like that? Now all these churches, they are the same. Are you hearing? Are they saying it in your presence? Now that is what the devil wants to see. He wants to the world to lose confidence in the church. So there is this conspiracy, and that's why the new missions teachers are talking about seven mountains and all that. Because if the devil control media through, then they will be projecting those negative stories from the church every day. You may think it's nothing. It's not affecting you because you are mature. It's affecting others. And so that's where we are now. As somebody told me when you preach, I said, church, forget that thing. Now, that's what the devil wants to do in your generation. You must restore the confidence of this faith. It is your time. It is your season to bring normalcy back to this narrow way and inject confidence so that people will now begin to see giving their life to Christ the same way they were seeing it in the 70s, in the 80s, and more people will be coming to the kingdom. Let me add. I don't know, I was just going through recently, was it TikTok? Then I saw the packaging of African traditional religion. Yeah. African tradition. People now, just the same way we preach the gospel, people now talk of charms freely. Have you come across things like that? That if you are barren, if you are this, I will teach you something you will say. I will teach you, you do this, you. Then, there was a time that we ran these things out of market completely. That we were almost not hearing of it again. Now, if you go to smaller communities, young people are returning to those things. These are things a generation. Many of us who are here, we have them in our compound, various, in fact, our own, somebody stole it. It's one iron like this. We kept it somewhere. So one day they just call family meeting. Everybody should come home. Say, what happened? One Ogunbe. When I had it, I laughed. And is that why we should travel? Now, where do you go? They look. When somebody carry and put inside bag and then run away. Now, so there was a time we rubbish all these things. We rubbish them. People, we are ashamed to claim that they still belong to them. But these things are rising up in your days. You must rise up to it. You must respond. This is your season. How about Islam? There was a time we almost ran that one out also. Really, we're not proud anymore. Many of their children became born again. Many of our pastors, evangelists, were Muslims before. The church occupied them. In fact, they were so angry, so annoyed, because we were almost taking over. If you go to many of their centers, you just see old people there. We were taking the young people. In the 80s, young people were being snatched out through SU, campus fellowships. I mean, they knew that they were being plundered that time. But these things are rising up. By the devil discrediting the church every day, so that people will not see the church as different. And then they will say, if church is like this, why should I leave the one I'm doing? As the Jewish father would say, even in the days of our fathers and our mothers, the church was not killed in Africa. It must not be killed in your days. Let's bow down our heads for prayers. As he's babbling, he will preach. As he's babbling, he will preach. And there's an unusual unction that came upon him. And this revival spread and covered the entire country until all the prisons in Guatemala were closed down. Because nobody was being convicted to go there anymore. Archbishop Benson Idahosa said, God does not need to come down because I'm already here. I'm representing him here. We're going to pray today. Open up your spirit. What is the Lord saying to you? At this your time? At this your generation? How will your generation occupy before Jesus comes? God did not plan a church that will be occupied as we are almost occupied now. We are occupied by terrorism, occupied by bad governance, occupied by economic hardship. The plan of God is that the church will be the one that will occupy. We are not made to be victims. Talk to the Lord today. As the Spirit of the Lord leads you. This is my season. This is my time. Open my understanding, oh God. Total understanding. Malema kabushi dalema lakaya. Open my understanding. Open my understanding, oh God. Risotila mokeshe kelebosinda lima kepasata lamaya. Open my understanding, oh God. Open my understanding, oh God. Open my understanding, oh God. Makema shento libaleka senda la baba. Open my understanding to really know the role I am to play at this time. In the name of Jesus, makema satu liba yekeske tili mushinda ya. Reposhindo yeke yepo posata la ya. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me say this before our Father comes up. When this understanding hit America, they were at the time of economic depression. But this understanding came. Different campus group taught the vision. And they saw that they were responsible. It was these young people that became Christian businessmen that were sponsoring Billy Graham's Crusade, sponsoring Robert University, and sponsoring they took over the sponsorship of the gospel, and revival took over America again. God is speaking to you. Open your heart today. This is our time. This is our season. Our challenges are obvious. They cannot overwhelm us. Because greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Talk to the Lord this one more time. I invite you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.